Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things. We'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday Night Bible Study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus. First off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Six Eyes Radio Network here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you again once more by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, Six Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the Six Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the Six Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the Six Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So, we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us here on the Six Eyes Gospel Bus as we pull out of the station?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost Band of Angels, you and me.
All right. Well, earlier today on the Six Eyes Children's Gospel Bible Time, we had Sister Emily stating her friend, relative, Billie Jean and her family have an unspoken. Need that for the family there. Emily herself is in need of prayer.
Isn't it Adeline or Adeline?
I'm trying to think of the name. Hold on. What's it? Annabelle.
Annabelle, that's the one.
Needs prayer. Keep them in prayer. Of course, as we always say, for all our country's leaders, for the different countries, they seek after God, not after man. And if they did and they start loving each other, we wouldn't have all these wars and stuff. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and Israel there with the war going on. We need to be praying for, of course, our military, all our first responders, fire, ambulance, police forces, and be praying for those who work in hospitals, nursing homes, and those patients therein, as well as all the sick and shut-in, the lost in general, and, of course, for all the Six Eyes Radio Network team and the Unspoken for Brother Quick and his wife, Pastor Bonnet and his wife. So all of the prayer requests, and as Six would say, your family, my family, your friends, my friends, your fans, my fans. Amen. All right, and Sister Ruth, do you have any others?
Just praising the Lord that Tim's okay over there in Israel, because he's also on the Six Eyes Radio Network on Thursday. So we want to praise the Lord for that. And still pray for me. I'm still sore, but I'm getting better. I took a walk, and I seem like I'm a little sore, but I'm not doing too bad. I moved pretty fast to get here. Thank you, Lord, that I made it in time. So that's about it. So I'm complete.
All right. Well, with that, Ruth, we're going to let you open us in a word of prayer, then we'll get right into our show tonight.
Now, Lord, we praise and bless your name and all these requests that you have. You know what they are, and you know how to handle it. So I'm just going to leave it in your hands, precious, and be with us on the show, and hope all the people in 100 countries have a good time tonight. So we love and praise your name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, tonight we got a great show lined up. Of course, great gospel music, as always. Then, of course, Tim's Hebrew Word of the Week. We'll be learning again another Hebrew word. Then, of course, we get into our message that is brought to you by HolinessBiblesForTheBlind.org. Click on that. Go straight down to where it says Sermons. Just click on that link. Click Fearless Teachings, and then as you go down the Fearless Teachings page, look under the sermons titled under the letter O for, believe it or not, occult influence in cartoons. Yes, in cartoons. So.
Hey, didn't we read that book together sometime in the past?
Yeah, well, tonight we're going to be hearing a message on that. So be watching for that. You could get your free download on the Holiness Bibles for the Blind website. So Occult Influence in Toys and Cartoons is our title. You could just look that up, get a free copy, as well as you can make a donation right there. And then, of course, after that, we are still rerunning Emily's second place tie with Pastor Bonnet. We're still trying to get with Brother Quick to start his run through and see how he'll do. And then after that, we have Ruth and her Bible prophecy. And where are you taking us tonight?
The Promised Land, and we better pray hard because right now they're in war.
Right. So we'll be learning about the Promised Land in Bible prophecy. And then, of course, at the very end, we will be reopening the mics for you, our listeners, who may join us here at 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617 here at the Wednesday night Bible study. Just remember, press the number 1, and we will open your mic at the end of the show. So here we go.
and dolphin flips, just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just what I say. I'm a special guy. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. A look of love was on his face, the thorn on his head, the blood was on that scarlet robe, stained a crimson red, though his eyes were on the crowd that day. He looked ahead.
It will be one. cripple starts walking, a blind man can see, a leper is cleansed, oh, and the captive is set free. There's a woman who's rejoicing, her son did not die.
17, and while I hit the bottle, doing anything I dang well please, burning down life's highway at full throttle, while mama burned a candle on her knees. And one night I came home half sober. I saw mama kneeling in the den. As I listened, she and Jesus talked it over, and I knew my restless days were about to end. 'Cause when mama prayed, good things happened. When mama prayed, lives were changed. Not much more than 5 foot tall, but mountains big and small crumbled all away when mama prayed. It isn't like every one of them got answered, but the times they weren't, it seems to me, were rare. You almost felt sorry for the devil, 'cause heaven knows he didn't have a prayer. When mama prayed, not much more than 5 foot tall, but mountains big and small crumbled all away.
you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611. R is Randy, U is Umbrella, T is Tom, H is Henry, at gmail.com. Again, KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday. Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, then on Wednesday. It's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus. Brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific, then on Thursday.
For he took me as I was, oh praise his name. What a friend he is to me, I can hardly believe.
Dr. Doug Quick, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
With AJ and the Squad.
9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's Kicking It with Six Eyes and ATL, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Pacific. And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. We're going into 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 31. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 31.
So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord.
And you notice here something interesting. Most people think, well, after Saul messed up, that he was doomed. Even after Saul messed up, he asked Samuel, he says, hey, I want to repent. I want to worship the Lord. And there's the proof in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 31, that Samuel did return with Saul, and Saul did worship the Lord. So Saul did repent. He did worship the Lord. But what Samuel did not turn back from, and what God did not repent of or say, okay, well, I'm going to forgive you for, he did not change his mind. God did not change his mind when he said he was going to take the kingdom from Saul. Hello? Read your Bible. There it is in 1 Samuel 15. You could see it for yourself. Saul, the kingdom was taken from him. But God did not refuse Saul from worshiping him and repenting and going back to God and repenting, because Saul did return and Saul did worship God. So for those agnostics who say, well, Saul did repent, no, Saul did go back to God. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse, 1 Samuel 15 and verse 31. Amen.
Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, and was wretched and wild as could be. Thank you.
Thank you. In a crowded room, did you feel alone? Did you call up your mother and tell her you loved her? Did you dust off that Bible and pour? Did you open your eyes, hope it never happened? Close your eyes and not go to sleep. Did you notice the sunset, first time in ages, speak to some stranger on the street? Did you lay down at night, think of tomorrow, go out and buy you a gun? Did you turn off that violent old movie you're watching and turn on out of the Siri runs? Did you go to a church and hold hands with some strangers, stand in line and give your own blood? Did you just stay home and cling tight to your family? Thank God you had somebody to love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things he gave us, and the greatest is love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things he gave us, and the greatest is love. And the greatest is love. And the greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Yes.
Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLYNESSBIBLESFORTHEBLIND.ORG. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our secure PayPal button and secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. All right, and it is now time for Tim Gruber and his Hebrew Word of the Week.
Hello there, this is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you again with this week's Hebrew Word of the Week, and this week's Hebrew Word of the Week is Tov. T-O-V as in Victor. Tov is the Hebrew word for good. Psalm 25, verse 8 declares, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20 declares, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Again, Tov, T-O-V as in Victor. It's the Hebrew word for good. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. You and I, by nature, we are anything but good. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. Repent, ye, and believe the gospel, how the Messiah, Christ, Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part. The lake was burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And again, the Hebrew word for this week is Tov, T-O-V as in Victor, and it is the Hebrew word for good. Till next week, this is Timothy Gruber saying, God bless you and yours.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. Again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. And in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's SIXEYES, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, SIXEYES, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
Long hair and cowboy boots keep us all out. Well, only the straights be living, or will there be hippies in heaven? Judging books by their covers and offsprings by mother is too weird. You know, DCs look AC, or ACs look DC with long beards. But the content of contentment just cannot be seen from the outside. And no one can tell if there's a Jekyll or Hyde on the inside. So, well, there'll be hippies in heaven, or the long hair and cowboy boots keep us all out. Will only the straights be the living, or will there be hippies in heaven?
Jesus came to where the cripple did wait for the water to move. The man had been laid for 38 years. He asked him this question that still rings in my ear. Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want a new life? Wilt thou be made whole and believe in Christ? Do you want to be washed as white as snow? God's question to you, will thou be made whole? He said, there's no man to help me in fools. Try to get up, nothing I can do. Then Jesus said, rise, take a five and go. And by his faith, he was made whole. And wilt thou be made whole? Do you want a new life? Wilt thou be made whole and believe in Christ? Do you want to be washed as white as snow? God's question to you, wilt thou be made whole? God's question to you, lost our way. Oh,
but you rescue the souls of men.
Covered.
you can know that heaven is yours. Only Jesus can forgive you. Only Jesus, because he's the Lord. Only Jesus, because he's the Lord. Live your time, stand in line. You'll get yours and I'll get mine. I don't like the taste of whiskey, nor the smell of musky grass. And when they pass around the trip, I've learned to let them pass. I'm not gonna drift away on powder, not gonna blow away on smoke. I'll put everything on Jesus Christ, and I'm gonna go for broke. Oh, live your time, someday we'll all stand in line. When rewards are handed out, you'll get yours and I'll get mine. But no honorable mentions will come straddling down the line. Live your time, stand in line, you'll get yours and I'll get mine. I'm not pointing any fingers, I'm not trying to be your light. I'm just trying to say that I believe I'm finally getting it right. But what works for me don't necessarily mean it'll work for you. But I've tasted and I've tested and I know he's tried and true. So live your time, someday we'll all stand in line. When rewards are handed out, you'll get yours and I'll get mine. But no honorable mentions will come straddling down the line. Live your time, stand in line, you'll get yours and I'll get mine. Live your time, stand in line, you'll get yours and I'll get mine.
Professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But, oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. And the category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my funeral, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk, and my brother and sister are like zombies, walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Children, odds are that you allowed them to watch cartoons this past Saturday morning. and that they also enjoyed themselves playing with toys. As a parent, you may still be able to remember the good times you had growing up doing those same things. Unfortunately, as with so many other things, the innocence of toys and Saturday morning TV has been tainted. What you're going to hear should shock you as we reveal the growing turmoil in the toy box and television's fixation with horror, the occult, and violence.
Joining us today is the Reverend Phil Phillips, who has traveled the country presenting evidence that something ominous is happening to the things with which our children play and the programs by which they are supposedly entertained. Well, now that sounds a little bizarre, doesn't it? We shall see. Phil, welcome to our program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Before we talk about specific toys and cartoons which are aimed at our children and what deleterious effects you believe that you have discovered that they're having, explain what you have found about the role that toys play in the development of a child.
Toys are very important. They are a tool for the play that the child will have. Play is extremely important in a child's life. A child will spend 15,000 hours in the play mode during the first 7 years of life. It is a process that is God-given. It's a God-given talent and a God-given ability that ensures that our children will educate themselves. If a child did not play, he would be considered grossly mentally retarded. A mentally retarded child can play. And play is a way that the children have of processing the images and the information that happen around them in everyday things of life. They're able to project themselves into roles that they couldn't act out normally and project themselves into roles that they'll take on later on in life. And so it's an excellent thing. And the toys are to be the impetus or the spark for the imagination. A child during play will project himself into a normal toy, giving it life, character, abilities, and talents, and setting the surrounding around it. And through that gift of imagination that God has given them, they learn from it. And yet there are toys on the market that are destroying his children.
Another new phenomenon in the world of toys and television is that there is now a close tie between the programs and the toy manufacturers. Tell us how this came about.
In 1982 was the first time that a toy and cartoon series was allowed to be developed simultaneously. The cartoon was called He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. The cartoon was presented to all three major networks and turned down because of its level of violence and sex within the series. It was released to 166 independent TV stations, covered 95% of America, and garnered total market control according to Nielsen ratings. The 30-minute cartoon acts as a 30-minute commercial for the toy. And essentially, what we have is a cartoon based on licensed product. And now a majority of the cartoons out are based on licensed product. The product that the toy manufacturers have developed, they go out and they hire animators to animate cartoons for them. So they have a lot of control over what's in those cartoons and how those cartoons are marketed. And what we've seen is we saw He-Man, a new release toy series, take up over half of Mattel's total sales in 1985. They did $500 million in sales, and then since 1982, they've sold 77 action figures every minute. So it's been tremendously successful as a marketing ploy to the children.
In what ways do you advise parents to evaluate the cartoons which their children are viewing on Saturday mornings?
Evaluating the cartoons on Saturday morning is a tough job sometimes, because there's a lot of cute and innocent-looking things, and yet they still contain religious practices or occultic practices. In fact, 85% of the cartoons on the market, we will see religious or occultic practices take place. I'm talking about actual things going on in them. So we have to look at the content of the program. What is the message that this program is trying to share? More so than good versus evil, because sometimes we're suckers for good versus evil if good wins out. But where does good get his power? Is he calling on what they would term a demonic spirit, or is he using New Age philosophy? Is he involved in Zen Buddhism? Is he involved in Hinduism? We've got a tremendous amount of these religious practices being portrayed before our children, and so we have to look at it. Tom and Jerry, Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner, however we felt about those cartoons, did not contain religion within them. And however, we see that the new cartoons are presenting religion before our children. For instance, in Smurfs, Papa Smurf calls on the name of Beelzebub quite often when he's casting spells. But on the other hand, Gargamel, the archenemy, in one episode, drew a pentagram on the ground, drew a circle around that pentagram, which is an actual witchcraft symbol. lit candles at each point, danced inside the pentagram, at which point a magical book opened up across the room, and a spiritual entity left that book, entered his physical body, giving him power to levitate and do battle against Smurfs. Well, every single element of that particular scene has its reality based in witchcraft and Satanism. And so that is a real religious practice. In Ewoks, for instance, we see that when an Ewok is born, a soul tree is planted. As the Ewok grows, the soul tree grows. When the Ewok dies, his spirit enters that tree for eternity. Now, live Ewoks can telepathically communicate to the dead Ewoks that are spiritual beings inside the trees. They can telepathically communicate to the spirits of the trees. When God is present in the encampment, the Zen Buddhist symbol yin and yang floats over the encampment, signifying his presence. And they have a psychic healer who does psychic surgery. They have magic stones shaped in that Zen Buddhist symbol. So these are actual religious symbols and concepts and practices presented to our children in warm, fuzzy feelings, or they are entertained by it in the cartoons.
These are really shocking statements which you're making. But have you documented these incidents?
Yes. In fact, we're working on a complete documentation of the occult within the cartoon industry for a secular book that we'll be doing called Saturday Morning Mind Control. But what we see is that there's 85% of the cartoons on the market today that contain religious occultic practices within them, and about 40% of the toys that are correlating with those 85% of the cartoons.
In the area of games, one that has been involved in a tremendous amount of controversy and even had parents' groups formed against it is Dungeons & Dragons. Tell us a little about this game and how many children are playing it.
Dungeons & Dragons is not at its peak right now, but it still has a strong underground following. What I mean by that is it probably has 3 or 4 million solid players. Dungeons & Dragons is a fantasy role-playing game. It's played totally in the realm of the collective imaginations of its players. The players roll 3 or 6 six-sided dice 6 times for their 6 character qualities. Once they have those character qualities, then they take on a character that they may play for 2 or 3 years in this fantasy role-playing position. They refer to books. The players refer to what is called a player's handbook. It's a book with a depiction of the god Moloch on the front cover, the god that the Babylonians sacrificed their children to. This book includes over 166 pages of spells to be cast during the game. Then there's a player called the Dungeon Master. He plays a god or a deity in the game, and he refers to books such as the Monster's Manual and Deities and Demigods. The word demigods means the product of sexual union between man and demon. And there are a tremendous amount of actual cult and even listings such as classic demons as Asmodeus and Succubus and the Incubus. But this collective fantasy, this role-playing, is a sugar-coated form of what is called psychodramatic techniques, a very powerful mind-bending tool and personality-altering tool that is currently being used to treat schizophrenic patients. It was developed by a man named Dr. Jacob L. Marino. Marino was a contemporary of Freud, and he said, if I could invent a game where man played God in his imagination, walked away from that game and went about his everyday things of life and came back to it and played God in his imagination again, then I could create a normal, healthy society void of the God syndrome or void of a belief in God. He didn't invent the game Dungeons & Dragons, but that's what fantasy role-playing games do, particularly when they're connected with an extreme amount of occult and demonic imagery.
Now, as we move into the realm of toys, what are some of the toys on the market today which concern you the most?
Well, we talked about He-Man being the one that set the stage for this. It broke the violence barrier, one of the issues. The very violent TV shows such as Miami Vice would average 4 to 6 violent acts every half hour. The paramount of violence in the old cartoon Roadrunner averaged 9 to 11 violent acts every half hour and was considered too violent in its day. He-Man Master Universe came in with 37 violent acts every half hour. Then it was preceded by Dungeons & Dragons, which had 67 violent acts every half hour, and then came G.I. Joe, which had 80 violent acts every half hour. And now last year we have a new cartoon coming out on the market that is called Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future, and it's an interactive cartoon where the children buy a $40 toy so that they can shoot the television and the television shoots back at them. And this cartoon averages 124 violent acts every half hour, making it the most violent program ever aired on television. Since 1982, there's been a 780% increase in violence in children's programming, and there's been a correlating increase in violence on the play yards of America today for some strange unknown reason. But He-Man and Master Universe is also one of the most occultic cartoons on the market. He-Man is transformed from a muscular wimp named Adam into He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe, by lifting his a sword in the air and yelling, "By the power of Grayskull." Grayskull is a castle built by unknown hands in the shape of a skull. There's a spirit that lives within a castle that manifests itself in the shape of a skull. And in fact, this spirit told He-Man in one of the comic books that he would take the lordship of the universe someday because he was empowered and possessed by this spirit. His archenemy is named Skeletor, the Lord of Destruction. He is sold carrying a ram's head staff. Now, Skeletor introduces a tremendous amount of the occult within this series, but if we just look at the toy, the ram's head staff is a very occultic symbol. When the ram's head is seen, it is a classic symbol of Satanism. Satanism often called the goathead religion, the worship of the half-man, half-goat deity Baphomet. But the ram's head on a staff is called a noroch, and when the noroch is seen in occult books, many times it's seen with the head of a dove crushed underneath the butt of the staff. In this cartoon, Skeletor's been responsible for making another character called Many Faces become demon-possessed. He's been responsible for introducing pyramid power and necromology, levitation, Zen Buddhism. And so we see that this occult stuff is coming in. But on the other hand, He-Man has a friend who's a witch called a sorceress. He also has another friend called Tila, the warrior goddess, who wears a cobra head breastplate and a cobra head staff. And the cobra is a symbol for demonic power and protection. And so the good characters have as much cult power, as much involvement in the demonic supernatural as the evil characters do. Another series that is out today is called Thundercats. Thundercats features Lion-O, a half-man, half-beast combination, who has a sword called the Sword of Omens. He plays a sorcerer within the series. The Sword of Omens has a ruby crystal in the center called the Eye of Thundera. When he takes that ruby crystal and he places it to his forehead, he says, "Give me sight beyond sight." This stands for the Hindu third eye. And his eyes glow. This is a classic symbol for demonic possession. If he gets into trouble, he calls on his father for guidance and counsel. The problem with this is that his father is dead, and he's involving himself in necromology. This is expressly forbidden in our Bible, Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 11. Then he has an arch enemy. His name is Mum-Ra. Mum-Ra lives in a black pyramid with four black pinnacles around it. He transforms from a mummy who has occultic powers into the ancient demon god, Mum-Ra, by saying something like this: "Ancient spirits of evil transform this decaying form into Mum-Ra, the ever-living evil one." And then he calls himself, again, the ancient demon god. And he can do a tremendous amount of cult practices. He manifests as a character with multi-headed cobras on his chest, multi-headed cobras on his head, and glowing red eyes, again, a symbol for demonic possession. Another cartoon that's out, it's called Brave Star. Brave Star is brand new, out on the market. Marshall Brave Star is called to be the Marshall of New Texas, a space-age frontier. New Texas has a problem. They're overrun by what the cartoon calls a demonic spirit called Stampede. He has what the cartoon calls a demonic cohort called Tex-Hex. So here we have the cartoon saying these are demons. This is a demonic spirit. On the other hand, Marshall Brave Star, when New Texas calls for 1,000 marshals, they only get one. And the reason is because he has four demonic spirits that he calls on to empower him. And he calls on the power of the bear and other demonic spirits, and he learned this from the shaman, a witchcraft priest. And in fact, in one episode, he bows his head and he uses mental telepathy and he says, "Shaman, I need you." And the shaman appears to him and opens his hand and says, "I've seen all in the vision planes," and takes Marshall Brave Star and another character on an out-of-body experience and astral projects them into a different realm. These are New Age concepts. These are directly from Satanism and the occult concepts. These are the Baha'i faith. These are Buddhism and Hinduism being portrayed before our children in a way that's entertaining and it's cute and it's fun so that they have positive feelings toward these things. And what I see is that the He-Man and She-Ra, his twin sister, and some of the other characters are being lifted up as gods before our children.
One piece of advice that you give to parents is to discuss the plots and values of television programming with their children.
Right. I encourage parents to sit down with their children, watch the TV with their children, and ask their kids, "Hey, what's going on here? What do you see here?" And the other thing is, if you'll sit down with your child and read Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 11, look those words up in the dictionary so your child knows what God said he knows what those things are. And then say, sit down with them with some of the cartoons that are in question and say, are these things in those cartoons? And if they are, these are things that we shouldn't have in our home. These are toys that we shouldn't have in our home. These are images that we shouldn't have in our home. So we can't watch these. And children, the amazing part is I have children in my presentation. And it really sets the stage for them to make a decision from their material wealth, their toys, and serving God. And the children really want to serve God. They really want to have God's best. And without a lot of encouragement, they're the ones who want to get rid of their toys. And God really honors that.
In your book, you also give advice on how parents can circumvent some of these difficulties with the use of a video cassette recorder.
Correct. There are some excellent things available on the Christian market right now that were not available 4 or 5 years ago. To use the video cassette recorder to show children these things, McGee and Me, The Amazing Book. We've got a series called Our Dwelling Place, which is a Bible application series that is excellent on the market. You can also record things that you see that are, evaluate well for your children and let them see them over and over again. A lot of people ask me about Sesame Street, and every once in a while there's something in Sesame Street that could be considered objectionable. And also there's a question about whether the pace is something that is valuable. So I encourage parents to take 12 Sesame Streets if they're going to let their children watch it and review everything that's in them so they know that it's okay. And then let the child watch it over and over again. You know, little children, when they're read to, like to have the same book read to them over and over again. They love repetition. And where an adult will watch a video one or two times, a child will wear it out, you know. But where the Christian market did not have Disney-quality animation available 5 years ago, now it has it. In The Amazing Book, which cost about $320,000 to produce, it's Disney-quality animation. It teaches children about the value of the Bible and learning the books of the Bible by heart, you know, and it has mice in it, and it's my two-and-a-half-year-old's favorite. She says, I want to watch the mice. Then McGee and Me is a new series out that is excellent. It has a live-action animation format. Our Dwelling Place series is an excellent Bible application series where it shows the Bible story, and then the modern-day children are talking about how to apply that in their lives today. Those things are available. There are other things coming out on the market very quickly in the Christian market, but you have to go to your Christian bookstore, and you have to find out what is available, and to take a stand and to be willing to invest in alternatives. You have to know there's a problem out there in the first place. And so I encourage parents to use that video cassette recorder. The other thing is a good standard of television time. It's no more than an hour a day. 1 hour a day, particularly for young children, is enough. The average preschooler in America today is watching 26 to 33 hours of television a week. They're spending 22,000 hours in front of a TV set before they graduate from high school, while the average American father is spending 37 seconds a day in direct, meaningful communication with his preschool age child and spending 172 minutes a week in total nurturing care of all of his children. We found that the average 10 to 13-year-old child was watching 100 R-rated movies a year. That's phenomenal. That means that they're watching more R-rated movies than even in the churches we surveyed. It was about 60 R-rated movies a year. They're watching more R-rated movies than they're spending time in church. And how can a child have a viable relationship with Jesus Christ while having that stuff made available to him? And through the VCR, which used to cost $3,000 in 1979, it's now $150, and through cable, our children have access to material. So if you're going to use the VCR, make sure it's used right. Make sure that you're using it to control the television. And know what your kids are doing. Make your children responsible to you for their spiritual lives. Let them know that, hey, every once in a while, I'm going to sit down with you and I'm going to say, where are you at with Jesus? What's your spiritual life like? Where are you at? Don't assume just because you bring your child to church and they show signs of being spiritually alive that they are. Make sure that they know. Mom and Dad are going to hold me accountable for my relationship with God, because we have that responsibility to mold our children spiritually. That's why they're dependent on us for 20 years. An elephant's born, it's a full-grown elephant in 18 months. We could have had children that were playing pro football in 20 months. But God made our children dependent on us for 20 years, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, so that we could impact this child who will live for eternity for him. And so make your children responsible and accountable to you for their spiritual lives. Don't be afraid to ask them, what is your life? What is your relationship like?
with the Lord. Before we run completely out of time, briefly tell us what you're trying to accomplish with Child Effects.
Child Effects is a resource magazine. It is in all the Christian bookstores in the nation. It's a 32-page full-color magazine. And we're trying to reach some people with this message who wouldn't be reached through the books and give some updated information. Currently, I'm working on a sequel to Turmoil, and I'm working on a secular book. But Child Effects helps to deal with the issues that are affecting our children's eternal destinies. That's our goal. What issues, what current events will affect our children for eternity? And that's what we're dealing with in here.
Bill, it's been an informative half hour, and I thank you for making the trip to be with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
The Reverend Phil Phillips has been our guest. His books include Turmoil in the Toy Box and Horror and Violence, the Deadly Duo in the Media. Dr. Kennedy, trying to avoid all-out paranoia, it seems that wherever we turn these days, someone is trying to influence our children with ideas that are anti-Christian to the core. I may be looking at it from a jaundiced perspective, but has it always seemed this tough to be a parent?
No, I don't think that it has. There's no doubt in my mind that anti-Christian biases have mushroomed in the past decade or so, and we see incredible attempts to intrude into the minds of children in school or at home through cartoons, in newspapers and on television and programs and toys, all sorts of things that are definitely not only not Christian but anti-Christian in their nature. And I think it's true that parents really need to be vigilant today, or they're going to wake up one morning and find their kids are up to their earlobes in some sort of an occult group. And though I must confess that when I thought about doing this program, I said to myself, oh my, really? Turmoil in the Toy Box. What is next? But after seeing what this gentleman has had to say, I think that he has some very important information that parents of small children need to hear.
It's obvious that we can take nothing for granted anymore, and we have to closely evaluate everything that we allow our children to watch and to play with. And most important of all, as parents, we must teach our children the Word of God and help them to be discerning on their own. This is Bob Allen for James Kennedy. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful day. The Transform is a production of Coral Ridge Ministries. Opinions expressed by guests on the program are not necessarily those of Coral Ridge Ministries, Dr. D. James Kennedy, or this station.
It is time for Sister Emily to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
The Apostle Paul was writing to the fold. He said, be brave, be confident, be bold, for you know the crown of life awaits you when your trials here on earth have come and gone. Now there will come many prophets who'll speak falsely. You must stand firm toe-to-toe and eye-to-eye. Tell them Jesus was exactly who he claimed to be, and his word must not be compromised. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise for me when he died on Calvary. The word of Christ I will not compromise. The apostles' today, for there are those who'd like to live their own way. They ignore the writing found in God's holy word, and his message gets compromised away. Oh, but I'll stand for the truth and for the light, and let his holy word through me keep shining bright. He's the one who gave his life for me at Calvary. So his word, I just won't compromise. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise.
some stay at home because it's cold, and some because it's hot, and some because they're getting old, and some because they're not. Some stay at home to entertain, and some to cook the dinner, and some because they're good enough, and some because they're sinners. Some stay at home because their hat, the milliner's not finished, and some because their liking for the minister has diminished. Some stay at home because their clothes are looking old and shabby, and some because their special type of piety is flabby. Some stay at home because they have a farm and lots of stock, and therefore cannot spare the time to gather with God's flock. Some stay away because their beaux care nothing for the church, and some because a special friend has left them in the lurch. And some declare they don't enjoy the singing of the choir, and others because their fellow saint aroused their wrathful ire. Some stay away because they've long in single harness tarried, and some because, as they protest, they're settled down and married. Some keep from church because they find the members cold and funny, who never clasp them by the hand unless they're after money. And some bewail with pious face the worldliness and sin that find lodgment in the church, so never enter in. Alas, alas, excuses grow to drive our thoughts from God and turn us from the house of prayer, the place our Savior trod.
All right, Emily, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
Well, I believe this common message in this is just basically the song saying not to compromise gospel, but in the poem it's talking about that they're compromising because of every excuse they can think of. So basically, they shouldn't be compromising God's word if they don't want God to compromise their life.
And for your last shot at the song and poem, you sure that's your final, final answer?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Not 100%, but I'm pretty sure.
Bonnet, look out the driver's door. Someone tied with you for first place. She is 22 for 26, and so we got a tie between Pastor Bonnet and Emily. 22 for 26. Good job, Em. You took him on. You took on the lead there right with Pastor Bonnet. If it turns out you both are in the lead, I may have to come up with another combo to see what can break the tie to get a winner. All right. So, right now we have a tie between you and Pastor Bonnet. Amen.
Well, brother dear, I actually saved your wallet this time. I don't get to blow your buzzer up. So, God gave the buzzer grace and gave you grace at the same time, bro.
Amen. And we'll continue on with the program. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flaming star comes down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
Lesson is the Promised Land. The Middle East part of the world is constantly plagued by an abnormal outgrowth of conflicting warlike personalities and jealous frustrations which date back to ancient biblical days. When the aged patriarch Abraham, who lived in the same area, was well along in years, the Lord appeared unto him, changed his name from Abram to Abraham, and gave him the delightful promise of a son, although Abraham was well stricken in years. Scripture, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Genesis 17, 6 through 8, King James Version. In due time, 99-year-old Abraham became the father of a son by his 89-year-old wife Sarah. When their son Isaac eventually came into possession of the promised inheritance from his father, God speedily confirmed his everlasting covenant with Isaac. The everlasting covenant was also later confirmed to Isaac's son Jacob, which was to affect each succeeding generation. This is an established fact in the Bible as well as in history. Therefore, the promised land isn't something a group of Zionist Jews have concocted, as some endeavor to have us believe, but it's tangible evidence substantiating the eternality of God in the establishment of a chosen people in a land God set aside long centuries ago. However, an aggravating situation developed at the first, which is continued as a thorn in the flesh for all Jews. Abraham had a son, Ishmael, by an Egyptian woman, Hagar, from whom the Arabs claim their descendancy. According to the Quran, the sacred book of the Muslims, God promised Ishmael that he and his seed would be dominant. This constant bloody conflict between the seeds of the two men, Isaac and Ishmael, has persisted down through the centuries. The descendants of Isaac and the descendants of Ishmael have continually tried to get possession of the land of Canaan, which the Arabs call by its Roman name Palestine, and the Jews call the State of Israel. To the Jews, this is the promised land. They are the only people whose long line of ancestors is recorded in the pages of Holy Writ. In other words, what history enumerates, is a tangled emotional death struggle between two people whose forefathers came from the loins of the same man, Abraham. Yet, a ruthless rivalry exists between them like the world has never seen. The rejection of Ishmael, the son of the bondwoman, Hagar, has led to an eternal fight against Isaac, the son of the free woman, Sarah. There is no chance of a complete let-up in the pressures of the Middle East. It will continue right up to and through the Battle of Armageddon. At that time, Jesus Christ will place the 12 tribes of Israel in the Promised Land, and no Arab leader or nation will interfere. The destruction of the biblical states of Israel and Judah by Assyria and Babylonia in the 8th to the 6th centuries B.C. led to the historical dispersion of the Jews throughout the Old World. Smaller Jewish communities were later reestablished in Jerusalem under the Persians in the 5th century B.C. The Maccabees, who lived in Palestine during the so-called Silent Years, 4 centuries between Malachi and Matthew, established a new Jewish state in 141 B.C., but they were forced to surrender their power to Roman rule. Palestine then came under Muslim rule in the 7th century. The present worldwide Jewish nationalist movement, known as Zionism, had its origin in the 19th century in Eastern Europe. The Jews lived under the fear of periodic Russian pogroms, and a highly organized attack or massacre was finally unleashed upon them. Naturally, Russian persecution weighed heavily upon the Jews in that day, and they persistently believed and hoped that if they could return to Palestine and again regain contact with the ancient soil, which gave birth to their Jewish religion, culture, and people, they would again achieve their rightful place as a nation destined as God, a nation where Abraham's seed could uninterruptedly maintain its prophetic destiny, a great nation, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 12, 1-3, KJV. In 1903, the British government afforded the Zionists an autonomous territory in Uganda, then a British possession, but the Zionists turned it down, emphatically insisting that they wanted to return to the land of their forefathers, Palestine, the promised land. Near the turn of the century, under Zionist auspices, a limited number of Jewish settlers began returning to Palestine, which had come under Ottoman or Turkish rule in the 16th century. The zealous Zionists saw their opportunity to regain Palestine, and the Holy Land became a gigantic theater of furious fighting. Under a British-French agreement in 1916, Britain was designed to take control of Palestine and Iraq after World War I, while France would take Lebanon and Syria. Later, the Balfour Declaration of 1917, named after British Foreign Secretary Arthur James Balfour, was put into effect. In this historic document, Britain said she would view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home, for the Jewish people, and would use her best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this objective. During the first few years after the Balfour Declaration began to function and the Israelites began going back to the Promised Land, national tensions rose to such a high pitch between the Jews and their Arab half-brothers that in 1937 a British Royal Commission finally declared the mandate unworkable and recommended the partitioning of Palestine into an Arab state comprising two-thirds of the territory and a Jewish state comprising the rest of the land, only one-third of the Promised Land. This political formula, which was definitely contrary to prophetic scripture, formed the basis of the partitioning plan adopted 10 years later by the United Nations General Assembly. The State of Israel was recognized by the UN in Tel Aviv on May 14, 1948. The British began evacuating Palestine, but her neighboring Arab states were angry and have not since been willing to acknowledge Israel as a foreign power. They have continually harassed Israel in a series of premeditated attacks, creating an explosive political situation in the Middle East, even helping to ignite the fuse that exploded into war in June 1967. The Arabs have not been censored or rebuked by the United Nations, the only organization with the legal power to do so. Such continual aggressive action remains a political mystery to many people. Why is one small nation constantly used to the satisfaction of the majority when equality is ignored without discretion? Since the end of the Arab-Jewish War on January 7, 1949, which short-lived conflict was an outgrowth of Israel, a nation on May 14, 1948, there had been nothing but continual strife in the Middle East between the descendants of Isaac and the descendants of Ishmael. Military and political pressures have constantly intensified to such a point that there was an Israeli invasion of Sinai on October 29, 1956. The military operation was supported by Britain and France, and it was hoped that the invasion would give the Israelis the opportunity of reoccupying the Suez Canal, which was nationalized by Egypt in 1956, at which time Israel ships were denied passage through the canal. The Suez has since been open to international shipping. The Israeli attack of 1956 was a complete success. In 7 days, the invaders routed some 40,000 Egyptian troops, killing better than 3,000 of them. And on November 5th, the UN, of course, United Nations, established the first international police force to supervise the shaky truce in the Middle East. So down through the ages, two peoples, the Jews and the Arabs, have been at each other's political throats. They have known nothing but ill feelings toward one another. History shows this to be true. Practically every newspaper and every newscast over the radio bears this out. Major war can erupt in that part of the world at any moment. In fact, that part of the world is to become the main theater of action prior to Christ's second advent. So for Israel and the Arab nations to live peaceably until the existing conditions, or under these existing conditions, this unfortunate situation will grow steadily worse. The United Nations has been able to insert the golden key of peace into the lock of trouble between the Jews and the Arabs so the door of understanding can open wide and solve the national problems of these two distinguished people. Yet despite what we know has happened, God told Abraham, I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. That's Genesis 17:8 in your King James Version Bible. On Wednesday, June 14, 1967, after the famous Six-Day War, thousands of Israeli Jews crossed over from the new city of Jerusalem into the once forbidden old city of Jerusalem on a historic pilgrimage to pray at the ancient Wailing Western Wall. The occasion was Shavuot, Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, commemorating the day when God gave the sacred law to Moses on Mount Sinai after Moses had led the ancient Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. Now, the Western Wall is an enclosed area in the old city of Jerusalem near the Muslim temple, the Dome of the Rock. One wall, of which is 59 feet high and is supposed to be, contains some of the original stones from Solomon's temple. Before the Jews were restrained or forbidden by the Arabs to enter this area, they gathered every Friday to lament and pray in front of the wall. Well, since the old and new cities are joined, Jews may go to the wall freely. Students of prophecy who have been observing the ancient Israelites scattered throughout the world are able to unhappily realize that the remnant of the Israelites who are returning to the state of Israel are going back in a condition of spiritual unbelief. For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, spiritual slumber, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered. Isaiah 29:10, King James Version Bible. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Romans 11:8, KJV. Though the Jews are in spiritual unbelief, many of them are looking forward with great anticipation to again restoring in all of its former elegance and majesty the reverential religious worship of the ancient temple days, which is a sacred heritage handed down to them by their forefathers of long generations ago. Okay. But don't just go and pray at the Western Wall is not enough. Orthodox Jews who adhere strictly to the established doctrines of Moses have long been desirous of getting the so-called Holy Rock into their legal possession once again. On June 27, 1967, after the famous Six-Day War, the Israeli parliament annexed Old Jerusalem as part of the State of Israel, bringing both sections of the city of Jerusalem together at one city. The Holy Rock is the spot over which the Dome of the Rock Arab Temple now stands. According to the Bible, the rock is actually the geographical center of the earth's land surface. Scripture, thus saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst or middle of the nations and countries that are round about her. Ezekiel 5 and verse 5. The rock was purchased by King David from a farmer by the name of Ananua. It was located on a portion of his farm and used as a threshing floor. Together with some oxen for sacrifice, King David bought the threshing floor for 50 shekels of silver. Later, David purchased the whole of Araunah's farm and gave it to his son Solomon, who built the first temple thereon. Please see 2 Chronicles 3, 1 through 2, and 2 Samuel. Read the whole chapter 24. It's a remarkable fact and shows the divine foresight of God that on this threshing floor, known in geography as Mount Moriah, Abraham, the father of the Hebrew people, prepared to offer up his only son, Isaac. In Abraham's unquestioning obedience, God was giving the world a realistic picture of what he was going to do when he gave his son on the middle cross of Calvary. For many years, those of us who have been examining the signs of our times in relationship to the ultimate fulfillment of Bible prophecy have anxiously wondered how the Israelites would ever get the Holy Rock back again, since it has been in possession of the Arabs a long time, especially with the unslackened fires of Arab hatred burning over so fiercely in the bosom of the enemies of the Jews. We are at last beginning to see the unfolding of this prophetic mystery because modern-day Israel now possesses all of the old city of Jerusalem, and if they so desire, the Jews are in a commanding position to dismantle the Dome of the Rock, the Islamic place of religious worship, and rebuild their own temple, which will be the fourth one to be erected on the Dome of the Rock, or site of the Holy Rock. We believe the Dome of the Rock will come down during the earthquake of Ezekiel 38:20. The scriptures seem to indicate that the temple will be rebuilt only after a peace treaty has been put into effect sometime after the appearing of the Antichrist. Therefore, we do not expect the state of Israel to force her way by tearing down the present Arab temple for the purpose of rebuilding her temple, even though there are many rumors that building material has been readied for the temple construction. None of them have proven to be true. It will be into the newly rebuilt Jewish temple halfway through the seven-year tribulation period that the satanic Antichrist will go and announce to the world that he is God. Who, Antichrist, opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:4. There are those who tell us that the Israelites will never accept the Antichrist, but we know this is not true. Truth is, will not come to the troubled Middle East until under Gentile rule. As far as the Jews and the Arabs are concerned, peace will not become a reality until the Antichrist appears on the world scene and grants such a peace to them, and it will only be temporary. It will cease at the halfway point in the seven-year tribulation period. And he, Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. That's Daniel 9:27 KJV. First part of this verse tells us the Antichrist is going to confirm or guarantee the covenant with many Jews and Arabs for 1 week, 7 years of time, which is the 70th week of Daniel. We know that by that time the Israelites as well as the Arabs will be happy to accept or acknowledge anybody who will guarantee them peace. While Jesus Christ was here on earth, he assured us in Holy Writ that such would take place. I'm come in my Father's name, and ye, Jews, receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. That's John 5:43. Therefore, the success of Israel in gaining possession of the old city of Jerusalem, where the Western Wall and the Holy Rock are located, is just the beginning of the unfolding of the final chapters of Bible prophecy relative to the Jews in the last days. This is overwhelming evidence to Bible students that we are now approaching the final minutes of the midnight hour when the Antichrist will appear on the world scene and grant a temporary peace unto the Jews and Arabs. The rebuilding of the Jewish temple will begin shortly thereafter, Ezekiel 38:20, and the world will be thrown into the prophetical tribulation period. Scripture, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, next scripture, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Matthew 24:21. These are tremendous days in which we're living, and they shall openly encourage every true child of God to live more closely to his Savior than he or she ever has before. We're living in the day when the voice from heaven could sound in clarion tones, come up hither. Some people have a tendency to shy away when Bible prophecy is proclaimed. Bible prophecy is another way of saying that God's overall plan will be fulfilled on schedule, and its approaching fulfillment should bring to every true born-again believer unhesitating confidence in the Word of God, as well as joy in his heart that his journey on this sin-scarred earth is drawing to a victorious close. It's been said that one-third of the Bible is prophecy. Therefore, when we read in our daily newspapers and weekly news journals that certain situations are taking place and the Word of God says they will, we should rejoice because it's undeniable proof that we are at the appointed days for the culmination of this age. There's no room for despondency in the heart of the Christian in this present age, and we're especially cautioned not to go about with our heads down, wringing our hands and thinking that the world is all shot to pieces. Against such, God's word comforts us with this scripture. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That's Luke 21:28. Such rejoicing as this is a sacred privilege for the born-again Christian. Our rejoicing comes because of the fact that we are soon to look into the face of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on Calvary's tree to redeem us from Adamic sin. took us to that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's Titus 2, 13 and 14. May God give us zealous spirits, strong wills, and courageous hearts to stand tall for God in these days of apostasy. The Bible very clearly sets forth in unmistakable language that the Jews are going back to their homeland, the promised land, in unbelief. Nevertheless, they are going back. The day will dawn when the king from heaven will give unto them all the land which was promised to their forefather Abraham. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Genesis 17, 8. Writing about 700 years before the first coming of Christ, the popular prophet Isaiah was able to prophetically foresee the eventual day when the Israelites would be restored in the promised land because he declared, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. All that see them shall acknowledge them that they are the seed which the Lord had blessed. Isaiah 61, 8 through 9. When this portion of Scripture is finally fulfilled, Abraham's seed, Israel, will be known among the Gentiles, and all nations of the earth will acknowledge that they are the ones whom God has chosen. In that day, God's chosen people will be living in the promised land with God's promised blessing upon them in its fullest capacity. Praise the Lord. And the next lesson will be Jerusalem.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Welcome to the Six Eyes Stay Warm But Safe segment, where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician, not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, clutter, etc. around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas-type fireplaces or wood-burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to check the cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plug plugs into the wall socket. Be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, the space that a space heater should have. All space heaters should have a clearance or space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater and your right leg next to the object you want to make sure there's space between. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself. This is at least a 2-foot space or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this is, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be a 2-foot span around the heater and at least over the top of the heater. From the top of the heater to your ceiling should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans, do not place anything on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type because of the reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family, and they would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters or propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use are all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm, because it is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead.
Hello, my name is Ian of Ashville, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim, and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 1-440-754-2061. And the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember, I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
Did you enjoy the program today? Well, you could get all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, whether Station 1 or Station 2. All you have to do is first download your iHeartRadio. Once you downloaded the iHeartRadio app, then go to iHeartRadio and type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that and you click enter, you will see two results pop up. The first, Six Eyes Radio, and the second, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. These are the results for both Station 1, Six Eyes Radio, and Station 2, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. You'll want to click on both and get both added to your device so you can listen to all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network for both Station 1 and Station 2 so you can enjoy 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, at your leisure. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And finally, as we pull into the station, Sister Ruth, who do we have with us on the Six Eyes Gospel Bus?
Well, we got Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We got you and Sister Emily with me.
All right. Well then, Sister Emily, do you have any questions, comments, prayer requests, prayer praises for us tonight? Did you hear me?
Yeah, I was having a little issue over here, and I had to kind of threaten my phone.
Oh. The Bible says, love one another as I have loved you. That includes your phone. Now, phone abuse is sinful, and if you do that, we'll have to call the phone abuse hotline.
Real funny there, Ken. You gave mine earlier, but I just got a text message from my daughter. She's asking for prayer about this job interview she's got first thing in the morning.
Okay.
Also for our boss man.
Okay.
And Queen Knight. And
okay.
Our ministry. And for our ministry, the need for our bus, for our ministry, for Brother and Sister Quick, and Pastor and Sister Bonnet.
All right.
And also from my voice, because I'm pretty sure the listeners can tell I'm not doing too good.
Well, to be honest, you do sound a little rough, but not that bad. You're understandable. That's the important issue.
Sound like you might have a cold, sweetheart.
I'll explain that off the air, Rue.
Sure, she's got a cold.
Okay, we'll leave that then.
You sure it's a cold, a warm, or a hot?
You and Sister Ruth already know what's wrong with my voice.
Well, Ruth said you had a cold. I asked her, is she sure it's a cold, a warm, or a hot?
Or lukewarm.
Well, hopefully she don't have a stiff neck. I'm a stiff neck.
Well, what'd you say, Em, to that question?
I said, sure, it's not a lukewarm.
Well, it might be that, too. So, all right.
Because
if you would have told me, if you would have told me you had a cold, I would have said, what are you? Are you a stiff in the morgue?
Kenny, be nice.
Okay.
Because
they definitely have a cold.
If I had that kind of a cold, they'd be hearing a ghost.
Well, maybe you and I are both the six-eyed ghosts.
Don't get me laughing. That gets me coughing.
We might be the six-eyed ghost come here to haunt people. Ooh.
See, I'm in one of these silly moods again.
It is Halloween,
okay.
Right?
Kenny.
Huh?
We're both the six-eyed ghosts, but we like to bulletize people.
Yeah. See, we're both we're both the six-eyed ghosts, and we're both edumacated. We went to Buhler University.
What is that that you say about you going to college and stuff?
Yeah. See, we're both educated ghosts. We went to Buhler University. We got degrees in scarontology and hauntology.
I think Bossman's got that too.
No. Ooh.
Yeah, at least they didn't take Professor Broadbottom, maybe from your marriage and sex book, you know, honey?
Yeah, well, he went to Baylor University, a whole
right.
different college. We went to Booler University.
Oh, honey, you're fun.
Okay.
Now, we'll pray for Emma. She don't sound like she feels too good. All right. I'm complete.
All right. So is that all you got for us in the way of prayer requests, Em?
And this evening, I got a call. I'm going to also be asking our listeners to be keeping it in prayer. It's a possibility of a bigger place and being able to bring my mom home for good.
All right.
And with that, I am complete.
Oh, you'd be so happy you'd bust.
All right.
And
well,
with that,
Ruthie.
I'm complete, Ken.
All right. Well, since Ruthie's voice ain't much up to it, we'll leave it to Ruthie. We'll let you give us a closing prayer. We'll be out of here. But I do want to remind everybody of the programs for tomorrow at 1 p.m. on Station 2. We have the Word of the King with Evangelist Timothy Gruber. You call 515-605-9340, 515-605-9340, 1 p.m. Eastern. And then, of course, right here on the same station, Station 1, 424-243-9617, 424-243-9617, 9 p.m. Eastern for The Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick tomorrow at 9 p.m. All right, Ruth, you are on.
Well, Lord, we love and praise your name and be with all the requests that were given. You know what they are, and you know how to handle it. So you're in charge, and you're on the throne, so we're just happy to have you up there, and that's where you belong, because you're perfect, darling. So we want to love and praise your name tonight, and everybody have a good night's sleep. We love you, precious. Amen.
Amen. God bless everybody.
Good night.